to the splendor, the spectacle, the sparkling sensation, where the romance, the comedy, and the thrill of Disney fantasies come to electric life.
And as our friend Jiminy said, welcome. Welcome to the Disney Nerds Podcast, a place each week where like-minded people get together to discuss all things Disney. We'll help you get your Disney fix on. Here we go.
A Magic Kingdom proudly presents, in a million points of musical light, the magical worlds of Disney.
Hello and welcome to show number 125 of the Disney Nerds Podcast. Hey guys, welcome back to the show. This is Ed, and on this week's show, it's Tech Check time. Almost a year and a half ago, we did our first Tech Check, where we kind of talked about the tech we take into the parks to kind of make the visit a little bit more enjoyable. Well, it's time for that tech check again. In 2016, some things have changed, some things have stayed the same, and we're here this week to talk all about it. So for tonight's show, we've got Sam from Sam's Disney Diary, we've got Jimmy from the Once Upon a Time Travel, and once again, we have Charlotte back on the show. Now, before we start, two things. The first, in case you didn't know, Jimmy is having a meetup for the Disney Nerds fans down at Walt Disney World on March 26th. This is coming up in a couple weeks. He's going to be down at the American Adventure with Rod from the WDW Messenger podcast and a bunch of the Florida Plunge people. They're going to get together in front of the American Adventure at 6:45 and basically just hang out, listen to the Village people, because they're going to be down there playing, and I guess drink. Have funnel cakes, talk to people. Should be a really good time. October was fun and it was pouring. We still had a blast. So I hope you have time. If you're down there, definitely check them out. Now the other thing is we're going to have a quick update from Sam on where we are with the Disney Nerds Madness Tournament. Now as you know, we're doing 128 of the top characters in 8 different brackets. And we finished round 1. So here you go, Sam. Tell us what's going on.
Thank you very much, Ed. And yes, it is time for Disney Madness, the annual Disney Nerds Podcast March Tournament. This year, 2016, it's Character Madness. We started with 128 Disney characters in 8 different categories. We're eliminating half of them and moving down to 64. So here's what the results look like in that tournament. In the Pixar bracket, moving on, Buzz Lightyear, Joy from Inside Out, Dory, Nemo, Sully, Mike Wazowski, Wally, and Woody, setting up some really interesting second-round matchups, including Dory versus Nemo and Mike Wazowski versus Sully. In the classic Disney bracket, this is where we had a clean sweep, meaning one of our matchups was 100%, and that was 100% of our voters voted, of course, for Mickey Mouse, who is moving to the second round. Mickey, along with Huey, Dewey, and Louie, that's one character, Pluto, Donald, Chip, Goofy, Del, and Minnie. Really, no surprises in this bracket, as the Fab Five, along with Huey, Dewey, and Louie, Chip, and Del, have moved to the next round. Over in the Princess bracket, Belle, Jasmine, Cinderella, Snow White, Aurora, Ariel, Tinkerbell, and Rapunzel are moving to the next round. Of note, both Anna and Elsa were upset in the first round. Well, maybe not upset, as Cinderella moves on over Elsa and Tinkerbell over Anna. Moving to Disney Parks, this is where it gets really interesting. We have the Hitchhiking Ghosts moving along, Divine in a Squeaker over Br'er Fox, the Yeti in a Squeaker over Little Leota or Madam Leota from the Haunted Mansion. The Dapper Dans are moving on over the Orange Birds. Now, personally, I love the Orange Birds, but when you think Dapper Dans, how can you not think Walt Disney World? Tom Morrow over Big Al, the Ghost Host over the Pirate Auctioneer, Briar Bear over Dreamfinder, and maybe an upset, maybe not, maybe that's just me, and Figment moves on over Cousin Orville. In the red bracket, the first category, Star Wars. Han Solo, BB-8 in a close matchup over C-3PO. Darth Vader over Boba Fett, maybe two of my personal favorite characters, and we had to pick one. Yoda Luke Skywalker taking out Finn and Rey, Chewbacca. And in a very close matchup, Princess Leia over Obi-Wan Kenobi. Maybe not a fair first-round matchup, but there's nothing we can do there. And R2-D2 takes out Kylo Ren. Moving on to the Muppets, Kermit the Frog in a landslide over Pepe the Prawn. Although I do like Pepe. My favorite, Sam the Eagle, takes out Statler and Waldorf. The Swedish Chef, Animal over Scooter, Gonzo the Great, Fozzie Bear, Beaker, and Miss Piggy round out the Muppet category. In Disney Villains, it's Maleficent over Prince John, Jafar, and in a close matchup, Gaston over Hades, Cruella de Vil, the Evil Queen, Captain Hook, Scar, and Ursula all move to the next round. And in the last bracket, Marvel, it's Captain America, Black Widow, Spider-Man, the Hulk in a very close matchup over Professor X, Wolverine, Thor, and maybe the closest, 51% to 49%, Hawkeye over Rocket Raccoon and Iron Man move along. So we are down to 32 characters. Head over to DisneyMadness.com to vote for your character. And in future weeks of the Disney Nerd Podcast, we'll get into more details on each of these matchups, cover some of our favorites. But remember, the voting's up to you this time. So get out there and vote. Thanks, Ed.
You see, my friends, the computer makes life easier. Saves me time and headaches, too. My enormous problem, to him's a piece of cake. He's got a great big memory like an elephant. Utilizes knowledge without end. That's why I'm a router for me computer. Everybody needs a friend.
So as I said in the beginning, we're going to do a little tech check this show. So a tech check, basically we're going to talk about some of the items we take to the parks with us, some of the things we actually take on trips on the whole, because we're going to talk about some of the items that we leave in our hotel rooms too, and some of the things in the parks that might help you out, maybe a couple tips, definitely some ideas of where the outlets are for charging and things like that, at least a couple per park, so that if you really were in a jam with one of your electronic devices, you can get a charge on it. Now, before we go into the parks, let's talk a little bit about what we do as far as going to Walt Disney World, just electronic-wise, in the rooms. Because I know I bring my laptop still, which I think there's the need for it, even though I'm getting further and further away from that. Mm-hmm. Before, with the smaller camera cards and with the smaller phones, I would have to download every night everything off of my devices onto my computer, and not doing that so much now. And with the phone and the tablet in the room, I'm not really needing the computer to go online. However, I still don't feel comfortable not taking it yet.
Right there with you. I am still taking the laptop with me. And the funny thing is, on my trip not too long ago, on the split Walt Disney World and cruise trip, I took my laptop with me. I lugged that thing everywhere, and I ended up never pulling it out of the bag. So when I get home and I put it back in my home office, I find that the cord is still under the desk. I left the cord here. but it just goes to show that I didn't even know it. I think I'm ready literally to cut the cord with laptop and lugging it around, because we have our tablets, we have our smartphones, and I have this little thing that you put your media cards and things in, and it stores it, and it also acts as a hotspot and does a couple other little neat things for me, and so I could take my photo cards and put them all in that and not have to worry about my laptop if they got full. But they're so big now that I don't ever even fill them up, so I'm ready to cut the cord for the laptop, definitely.
I think just even a more basic level, one of the things that we always pack is a power strip.
Oh, sure. I wouldn't let us get away from the rooms without mentioning that.
Well, because, you know, first of all, we have so many devices to plug in. Second of all, we've had incidences where, like, the plugs in the rooms, especially at the resorts, don't work well. Like, the plug doesn't want to stay in. It's been used so much that the plug wants to fall out the wall almost. Right. So you find a good one, you plug that power strip in it, and so you can plug all kind of neat stuff in there. Another thing is that we like to bring a small extension cord with us, just one of those little 3-outlet, 6-foot extension cords. Mostly because we like to decorate the windows. So my wife likes to hang like a string of like Christmas lights in the windows and stuff like that. And I know that's not necessarily tech, but it's, if you don't have it with you, if you don't have the little 3-foot extension cord, you can't do it because there's no plug close enough to the windows to make that happen.
Right. And to just explain that for people who haven't stayed at the value resorts, the people at the value resorts, we like to decorate our windows since we have outside hallways that enter into our rooms. So a little bit more of an understanding if you understand that.
Good point, because if you were – I mean, even the moderates, I guess, right? So the moderates, right. all the doors are external. It wouldn't make sense.
True.
Yeah, it wouldn't make sense if you were at a deluxe because, you're actually in a hotel and not a motel type of setting.
Are you kidding me? If I'm on the boardwalk and I'm facing it, I am definitely out my window, buddy.
Yeah, true. Yeah,
I
true.
Have if now you, a if you're balcony. Facing, come on.
Yeah.
Right, Bay Lake Tower. Yeah. Bay Lake Tower has a lot of decorations. Oh, yeah, good point. Right. Never mind.
They can still do them. But if you're on the inside of the boardwalk and not right in the right spot, but yeah, absolutely.
It's pretty neat to go decorate your door with some Disney Nerds podcasts, refrigerator magnets, and putting some lights up in your room and stuff like that, putting some stuffed animals in that window.
Sure. I count that as tech.
I'm actually planning on putting a giant birthday card on our door for the surprise trip this weekend, and because
awesome.
My daughter is going to turn 16, so I want people to sign her card for her. So that's what I'm going to decorate our door with this week.
Nice. Very nice.
Oh, yeah. You should have like a thing that says, please sign here.
Exactly.
Leave a Sharpie hanging. Awesome.
Well, we usually leave a message board on the door anyway, and people always write notes, or we'll write, where we're at or how the day's going, or, silly little things like that. But we have always decorated our door and our window.
Awesome.
Even if we're at Deluxe, we'll decorate something. Because
I don't think that happens anywhere else other than maybe it does. But I know on the cruises it happens a lot, right, Ed?
Oh, yeah. Well, I was thinking the only place I ever put up like a board to have people leave messages was the cruise. But, yeah, the doors are totally decorated. It's a fun thing to do.
Yeah, it's neat.
I actually used a lot of the magnets from the cruise this time down in Disney World, so it was kind of nice doubling up. Okay, Sam, so you still bring your computer or not?
I do. Absolutely, I do. And I heard you guys talking about, you don't have – the memory cards are big, and they are, but I still find a way to fill it up. Because the memory cards are getting bigger, but I'm also recording 1080p, 60 frames a second, which is absolutely unbelievable file size, and I got to get it off of there every night. So I'm the guy that's got my laptop, and I put it on my laptop, and I also have the external hard drive that I put it on too, so I have two copies of it before I go the next day, because I'm also worried about losing it, which would lose the pictures. So I definitely have my power strip with my laptop plugged in, external hard drive, and every day I have my folder open, I create the day. I'll even use the opportunity then to add some metadata so I can find things later. So in other words, you go in and say these pictures are Epcot, these pictures are Magic Kingdom.
Wow, so over my head. Jeez, I just maybe name them once.
You got to do that, but that allows me now
sure,
to go into a folder and search for Flower and Garden, and I get the last 4 years of Flower and Garden Festival. Boom, come up.
Right. Oh,
and
now
it also helps me put that stuff into the website. But, I'm not. Probably not the normal person. I've been told I'm not normal before. But anyway, yes, I'm still taking my laptop, although I'm not taking a tablet, really. It's a laptop and my phone. So in a lot of cases, maybe just shifting away from a laptop to a tablet because it's easier and you can do the things you like to do.
You can never do the computer things on a tablet as easy. I just need a keyboard.
Absolutely.
Agreed.
Okay, so what else in the room? The one other thing I could think of tech-wise room would be we also bring an air mattress, which is kind of tech because we have to plug in the pump to blow it up. Usually when we drive, we have a lot of extra room in the van. So we'll throw in a single air mattress. That means when four of us are in a room with only two beds, we share one bed, my wife and my daughter. My son gets a bed and my son gets the air mattress. I get the bed. So it's really, really nice. And we switch it up as the weekend goes or the week goes.
That's pretty funny. Because I was just talking to one of our listeners, Lisa, and she was actually booking a trip, booking her honeymoon trip, and we were talking just and I was talking about when we go down, even if it's the four of us, it could be me and Kim, And me and Kim go down, we still get the room with the two beds because we just like to get our own bed. But when it's all four of us, you know, like Caitlin will sleep with Kim, and usually I'll like bribe Wyatt to sleep like on the floor. So I'll be like, hey, we'll set you something. So I'll give you $10. You just sleep on the floor so I can get my own bed. But that's funny that that's great that you're more benevolent than I am that you bring an air mattress.
Well, like I said, the single is easy to carry because we have the van. If we fly, we wouldn't have it. And it fits in the room really well, even the values. So it always works.
I'm sure Wyatt's going to appreciate that tip.
You just got right off the floor there, Ed.
Nice. Right, you did.
Oh,
you did.
And you know what? Walmart down there sells them for like $25, $30 last time we went, and it came with the pump. So
yeah,
you could always buy it and dispose of it, depending how much it's worth to you, how many nights you're there, and how much it'll keep everybody happy. Okay, so our rooms, tech-wise, I think the utility strip is the biggest thing to remember,
absolutely,
especially plugging in our stuff.
Bring it
even
at least
a second
one.
I was going to say, even almost a second one. Because unfortunately, there's only a couple outlets, and only a couple outlets you can really get to. So it's definitely worth the while.
The other thing I was thinking about, you know, I'm kind of on Amazon, and I'm kind of looking at different things. One of the other things is that there's a company called Anker that does it. It's A-N-K-E-R, and they sell a lot of things on Amazon. One of the other things that they do is like a USB bank.
That's what I have. It's a USB bank kind of thing, and then and I can also put my memory cards in it.
So you plug it in the wall, and it's got about 6 USB ports that charge at, you know, 2 amps.
And it will be wireless, so I can make it a wireless hotspot as well.
That's great. I don't need
that. So, but where do you get the signal from to make it wireless? Are you paying for the signal into that?
I'm using my hotspot from my phone.
Right.
It just or you can if you can get into like Disney's Wi-Fi, it just makes your signal stronger.
Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah, so you could just pipe into that if you needed to, but you just will get a stronger signal from it. It was actually probably $20, $25 on Amazon. It was a really good little thing, and because I use it at school as well, I mean, I've used it a lot. It's a really good little tool.
I will also say this, just tech-wise, last February, I think, we stayed at Caribbean Beach, and it was a room that was recently renovated. So every outlet that was in the room, in the middle of the outlet, they also had 2 little USB ports.
Nice.
So you didn't need the plug. You could have 2 things plugged into it, plus 2 USBs plugged into it.
Oh, nice.
That's a great new thing.
I haven't seen those yet. Cool.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. So if you had 2 couple phones, you didn't need the little plug part. You could just plug straight in the USB.
Right. And you could always call the hotel you have reservations for to see if they have those plugs. So if you're not sure, that's an easy call. They'll know for sure at the desk.
As they're renovating rooms, that's one of the things they're doing.
Cool. Okay, so now we have the room set, and we're heading to the parks. And I know we take a lot of tech into the parks with us sometimes, so let's kind of do a little listing of what we take. Charlotte, you start this one out.
Well, of course, I have my DSLR camera, usually either a Nikon 7200 or a D90, maybe both of them, depending on what I'm doing, and lens. So I have all of that gear, but I never take my tablet. It's sitting in the safe in the room. There's no sense in me taking that when I have everything else.
Right.
I have my phone. I use a Samsung Note 5, which has got a great camera on it, great video. My apps are great. So that is pretty much my tech. And then I'll have my portable chargers. I have 3 portable chargers. And, you know, because I also have teenage children who will run their phones down. So as the mom, I'm the one with the extra portable chargers just to make sure everybody stays charged up like they should.
Gotcha. Now, the portable chargers, I've had a couple that are basically, I call them one phone chargers. So they'll charge my phone one time or almost even three quarters. So not to the fullest, but they only cost about $7-8 each. And then this year I finally invested in a bigger one that can charge my phone probably 2.5 times. Mm-hmm. What kind do you have?
I have both kinds. I have two of the bigger ones and one of the small ones. And I can actually charge my charger on a charger. I know that sounds crazy, but I will sometimes will charge one of the chargers for one of the kids on one of the other chargers when it starts to run down. So I kind of do this juggling thing with them to make sure they always have a charge. I also have a rapid charger wall charger that has several USB ports in it. So if we go to sit down somewhere or like find an outlet, I will plug in whatever needs the most charges. So I'll plug in everything. So if I have a phone that's going dead or, you know, below half, I'll charge it. Plus, I'll go ahead and charge the portables at the same time. And I can usually get a full charge in about 40 minutes on my Note 5.
Okay.
From total dead
to 40 minutes would be 100% charged with the rapid charger.
Nice.
So I have I'm a huge fan of this company Anker, which they sell them on Amazon. It's Anker. I have a 16,000 mega amp portable charger that I bought about 2 years ago that will charge. I have a Galaxy S6. Kim's got a Note 5. That charger will charge each of our phones probably twice at least, fully charged. But I will tell you that that is 2 years old. The newest one is a 20,000 amp charger that they make, and it comes with the rapid charge. It's $40. So that thing will charge, like your phone, Charlotte, it'll charge your phone probably 5 times.
Wow.
For $40.
Get that.
For $40, it'll charge your phone probably five. It'll definitely make it through the day. Let me say that. And it has the power, you know, like the adaptive quick charge technology built into it.
Wow, so, that's really impressive.
Those days.
It's kind of cool how we're accumulating our technology, though, too. It's almost like, and I'm going to say this a little nerdy-wise, but I just like almost think Star Wars, because you're always seeing that technology going on and being used for different things. And then we're having our charger charge our charger, kind of like a blaster charging that lightsaber to get the extra energy out of it. So yeah. It's definitely tying into this tech check. It's great. Well, Sam, how about you? What do you carry into the parks?
You know, the chargers that you guys are talking about are absolutely a must. The last thing you want to do is be looking for that place to plug in. And I know we're going to get there. But if you have this portable charger, and that's all you have to do, head to Google, head to Amazon, search for portable charger. It's a small box. There are different amps that Jimmy just talked about. Keep in mind that the size is most important. You want something that's going to fit in your pocket before you want something that's got the most power that may be a brick that you're carrying around. But the technology keeps evolving, keeps changing. You're going to find them anywhere from $10 and up. But being able to notice that your phone is getting low on battery and be able to plug it into something without finding an outlet or investing in one of the power bricks that you can put around your phone that you can just charge it and it's part of your phone. I mean, these are technologies that absolutely are a must because you don't want to be at the end of the day looking for that charge to get in touch with somebody that's in the park someplace else. And that's what always seems to happen.
It's
a must.
I will say I completely agree. And, you know, if you're somebody that's going into the park and you're going in light, well, you don't have a lot of baggage. You know, maybe one of those smaller chargers is important to you, but you know, listening to what Charlotte's saying, she's going with two cameras, she's got lenses, she's got this and that. So, you know, I'm just looking at it, and let me tell you, the charger I have is 2 years old. it's kind of a brick, but I always carry a backpack, so it's still not that big of a deal. To me, I'd rather carry the backpack with the brick in it versus having to go find an outlet.
Right.
But the newer ones, they're getting smaller and lighter all the time.
Absolutely. Yep.
So, Charlotte, the one I was telling you about, and I'll shoot you a link to it, it weighs 12.5 ounces and will charge a Galaxy S6 5 times.
Wow.
So it puts out a max output of 4.8 amps.
That would get rid of a couple of my other smaller ones.
So I wouldn't it's have 40 to juggle bucks, anymore. Which, I mean, don't get me wrong, 40 bucks is not cheap, but for what it does for 40 bucks, so it, you know, it's got a couple of different ports. So I'm looking at it, I may even buy it, and I've got one, but it's twice the size of this one.
It's even more of a must to have that power strip in your room, because when you get back, you have got to plug
you gotta charge
thing
all
in
these
overnight.
Right.
It's got to plug in overnight, because these things do not charge up quickly. You got to give it overnight plugged in. So don't forget that.
A very good point. And, you know, I think the other thing is, and talking about technology, is, you know, not just technology on how we keep things charged, but technology and how we use it. I mean, things like Periscope and, you know, if you get an iPhone, you can do live Facebook. Those things are fantastic. I love it. I watch those all the time. But if you have a phone, man, it's sucking up power to get that video camera running all the time.
Right. There are I don't have one, but my soul sister that I do the Run Disney races with, Joni, she has a great phone case that is a charger that I have been looking at. They're a little expensive, over $100, but I think that I might bite the bullet next trip and see how that does, because she never had to pull out her portable charger, and she has the same phone that I do, so we actually swapped phones for a minute so I could charge on her phone case. And so when she plugs her phone up, it charged the case and the phone. So as her battery dies on the phone, the case just keeps charging the phone back up. I thought it was amazing, and I have to have one. I'm kind of mad that my husband didn't give me one for my birthday.
I think so. You know, I think those are great. I think those are great unless you're the type of person that likes to carry their phone in their pocket, because those cases make the phone so much more. I'd rather carry the charger and keep my phone in my pocket.
Well, that's usually the case, but this was actually I guess it was a slimline or something, because she was able to fit. We wear it's a running skirt called a sparkle skirt, but it has shorts underneath, and the shorts have pockets, and that's where we stick our phone. She had no problem sticking her phone in the pocket with that case on, because I know what you're talking about. A lot of them did have those really fat, huge cases that, I mean, you couldn't even drop it down in your purse without it sounding like a brick hitting down there. But this was a much slimmer. I was really impressed with the case of it. I mean, it did look a little bit more feminine, so it's probably not something one of you guys would want, but I'm definitely
mine's called a power bank, and that's exactly what it is. And Jimmy, just like the rest of the technology, it gets smaller, it gets more affordable. It's not the biggest battery, but it's enough to charge my phone two or three times in a day. Yeah. And if you look for power bank, you'll find every color and style and design you want. So, yeah, you got a pink one, and then I'm sure I could find one with Darth Vader on it someplace if I looked.
Everybody's got their different needs, though, because for me, I'll never give up my OtterBox. I'm a total Butterfingers with my phone. I have an iPhone 6, and I drop it once a day. And without an OtterBox on it, I would be out of control. You know, I would have a flip phone back again. The cases that charge the phones aren't as secure, and I don't think I could ever kind of commit to something like that. So basically, I have the chargers that I take with me. Now, when I go to the park, I usually take a camera, which is a Canon digital. It's not interchangeable lenses, so it's not that huge, but it is really nice. Very useful to take video, very useful to take pictures. And all I'll take is the over-the-shoulder camera bag that goes into. Inside that, I have the extra batteries for it. I've got my battery charger for the phone. And I've got the cables necessary, which is another big thing, is don't forget the cables. You can't charge your phone on that battery unless you have the cable with you. And I only say that because we screwed up one day and forgot the cables. And it doesn't work that well.
So little things like that. And that camera bag now is the only bag we really take with us. We're able to kind of go a little bit lighter than we used to. So it's nice, and most of our stuff fits in it, so it's really cool.
You're spot on with the cables, Ed. You got to remember those. And more than one, because when you get back to that room, guess what? Everyone in the family has a phone to be charged up at the same time. So there's no sharing a cable.
Oh, yeah. Now, we have an orange technology bag, which is what we take on the trip with us. So that bag has all the little blocks in it for your Apple stuff or your USB stuff. It's got the extra cables. It's got the utility strip. It's got anything we need technology-wise just in that one bag. That way, we're not going to be looking through all our different knapsacks and bags and computer bags and suitcases and desk drawers or whatever. We always know it's going to be in the technology bag, whatever we need.
Right.
That's a good idea, a separate bag for that. Mm-hmm. I tend to use Ziploc bags inside of our regular so that I have a Ziploc that has all the things for my DSLR camera and a Ziploc that has everything for whatever other piece of technology I have. Separate it that way, because you end up with so much stuff, right? The family of four different cell phones with four different chargers is how it feels sometimes.
And nowadays, with my Disney experience, we use our phones in the park even more than ever. The Disney Wi-Fi they supply in the parks is passable, and it's getting better, but there are definitely dark areas where it doesn't work, or you have the little icon spinning on your phone as you're trying to load it. So you can panic a little bit once in a while. Just move around. It usually clears itself right up. I got to think the park has individual wireless drops all in different areas, and you could just be in that one area where it's blocked. I work at a school, and we have cement block walls that there are certain areas where there is no Wi-Fi whatsoever, even though there are a lot of drops in the school. You just have to move about 20 feet one direction or the other, and you get some great Wi-Fi.
That's a good tip. Just move around.
Yeah, and that's, sometimes that happens just because you're panicking anyway when you can't find the listing of your next fast pass. But I tell you what, Charlotte gave me a great idea on how to avoid that. What was it, Charlotte?
Well, on my Disney experience, when you first log in, it gives you your itinerary, basically, your reservations, and you can just take a screenshot of that and use that, save that as your lock screen. So I don't even have to open up my phone all the way. All I have to do is, make the screen come up, and I see, all right, I have the Mine Train ride next, and then we have dinner, and I don't even have to log in. So I really love that. That has saved me a lot of time and effort trying to log in, especially, when you get into the buildings and you're trying to connect. Yeah. That always seems to be the worst place when you're in one of the buildings and you're in line. You're like, oh, I'm just going to go ahead and pull that up right now, and you can't pull it up. So having that saved on my lock screen, oh, okay, here we go. And I always send that picture to my kids, too, and so they have it as well.
Now, the perfect time that works, and it might not be so bad anymore, but in the beginning, sometimes a FastPass wouldn't work. And I actually showed the attendant there, the cast member, my phone where my Disney experience showed I actually had the FastPass at that time, and they finagled it and they let me in. So more so, if you can't get to the Wi-Fi, you have this available to you right away online after waiting, how long to get on that FastPass line.
Right.
There you go. Because unfortunately, FastPass lines aren't as quick as they were.
No.
But that's another show.
But that's a great tip, Charlotte. I never thought
you could also
that.
Bluff them.
That's great.
Right. Thanks. Now, when Charlotte told us this, it got us another conversation started really with what we do with our phones as far as the camera goes. Because as soon as I get to the Magic Kingdom, specifically the Magic Kingdom, but any park, I'll take a picture of what parking lot I'm in. Usually at the end of the row, I'll take a picture of the number on the ground. And then I also, when I rent a car, usually it's a car right after the airport. I go right to a park. I'll take a picture of the license plate just in case. There's the big parking lots, and they can get lost. What were some of the other things you guys were talking about taking pictures with the phone?
Well, for the people who are flying in and renting a car, we always go walk around our car and take pictures of that rental car before we ever drive it off the lot. Just in case, my husband travels a lot for work, and he's had quite a few rental car issues. And so that is something that he's just learned to do over time. And so now it's first thing.
You don't want them to be saying,
exactly,
oh, that dent wasn't there when you took it.
So it just saves yourself in the long run. And we when we get our cameras and we're ready to go into the park, we need to make sure that our memory is cleared out.
Oh, that's a good one. Yep. Good,
because it happens all the time. You know, it happens all the time that we start to take pictures and we keep taking pictures. And the next thing you know, you get to take something great. Mickey is pointing right at you as he walk, you know, as he rides by on the Fantasy Parade float. And your camera immediately says, no more room. So,
Oh, that has happened so many times. It boy, has. Stinks.
It has. Yeah, but to your point, then I look at it and realize that I still have pictures from Easter Sunday on my camera that I never took off at home.
Right.
So yeah, that's a good call.
Clean it all out before you ever take your trip. While you're sitting in your airport waiting to go to get on the plane, go ahead and move your shortcuts to your home screen, the ones that you're going to be using, your touring plans, your My Disney Experience, all those shortcuts, move them right to your home screen and move the stuff off that you're not going to be using for this trip. Move those away. That way you're not always searching for something. Go ahead and clean out all of the unnecessary photos and apps and just clean out the cache and get it all ready, because that the worst thing is when your daughter hugs Cinderella for the first time and you don't get that. I mean, that's going to be really bad if you can't say, hold on, my phone didn't work. You can't stop time like that. So it is a magical place, but you can't stop time like that.
And I think just for convenience purposes, you know.
Sure.
When I get back from a vacation, I've got to rearrange like my home screen, because I'm going to throw my lines at from touringplans.com. I'm going to throw that on my front screen. I'm going to throw my Disney Experience on my front screen.
Yep.
You know, all that stuff that might not be there all year round, but it's going to be there while I'm there.
Right.
Yep. Now, two other things I thought of real quick to take pictures of. The first one is, if you have card tickets before they get put onto your magic bands, you might want to take a picture of the back of the ticket, just because if you lose that card, you can get it replaced if you have that back information, those numbers on there. Another thing we always do is we usually take a picture of something that says who owns the camera. So Mike Cannon, the first picture on the card is a picture that says this camera belongs to Ed Mazzilli. You can get in touch with me at this number in case I lose the camera. Now, most of the places in the world, I would not expect to see my camera again. However, if you lose a camera in Walt Disney World, there is a better than average chance you might see it again. They have a great lost and found system. The way they work it is very, very well maintained, and usually you will find something you lose in the parks, provided it wasn't lost in a location that just isn't easy to find, like off the wish list or something like that.
Yeah, or it's just something that's completely, like if you lose a set of Mickey ears that don't have your name on the back of them.
Right.
Right. But you got to admit, people on vacation in Walt Disney World are happier than people elsewhere, it just seems like. So to find a camera from somebody else, the first thought in your head is to get this camera back to that person, because they're going to miss all those pictures and things like that. Or at least I like to hope that most people think that. So by having a picture of your name and location and how to get a hold of you, at least gets that camera a chance to get back to you.
Mm-hmm. Hey, would you even go as far as maybe, you know, so we get like these, we've gone on multiple Disney vacations, so we always get like these Disney luggage tags. So maybe it wouldn't be a bad idea to tie one of those on your camera strap.
Sure. Depends how much. Depends how hard it is to carry it and how much of a flap it is, but that's not a bad idea at all. One time we stayed at the Pop long time ago when iPods were the big phase. My daughter left it in the hotel room in one of the drawers, and we didn't even know she lost it. She never told us, and we got a letter 3 weeks later with the iPod saying, hey, guess what you left in the room?
That's pretty awesome.
Okay, well, so we talked about a lot of the tech we take to the parks with us and a lot of the tech in our rooms, and one of the things we really, really came to a consensus on was that having those little battery packs definitely will help you out. But what happens when the battery pack isn't charged? What happens when you wake up that next morning and you find out the utility strip, the switch was off and nothing on that strip charged? Well, there are good places you can't get your phones charged. I know, right? When you think everything's perfect. And the first one I want to point out is probably the safest and most convenient. However, it's only as you're walking in the park you're going to realize how convenient it is. Bottom line, guest services will charge your device for you, your phone. You must have your phone with its charger available, meaning the cord, and then what you do is you'll hand it to the guest services rep. They'll give you a little card to take with you. Phone charges, you come back with your card, you get your phone back all charged.
Absolutely, so, and that, it's great. Basically a valet service, and then you don't have to worry about it. You can go to an attraction, you can ride, come back a few hours later, and it's charged up. That's the way to go.
And when I first heard about it, I thought that was a really great thing, but I got to imagine, how many phones can they handle? So they must have some really, really nice little setup in the back there where they plug these things in. Yeah. It was right behind the counter, but it can't be any longer. It's got to be too many to deal with. So some of the parks, there's some generalities, meaning most of the counter service restaurants we were talking earlier have outlets that you can take advantage of. Some are better than others, though. Some of them are located, their locations are a lot easier. One of the places I was talking about was in the Magic Kingdom. Columbia Harbor House has a lot of outlets along the walls, and the tables are all set up along the walls also. So you can usually find a spot next to where you're eating where you can plug your phone in. You don't have to watch it across the room or whatever.
I think you're mentioning that due to experience.
Right. Of course.
I mean, I remember when... You know, it was me, you, and Kevin John. We were sitting up there, and eating dinner, and we all had our phones plugged in different outlets.
Oh, yeah, no, it's a perfect place for it. Plus, in Columbia Harbor House, the added feature, it's one of the best people-watching places around, especially from that second floor.
Oh, we will look at the view of Haunted Mansion, yeah.
Oh, yeah, I know, it's nice. Oh,
it's awesome.
Well,
Jimmy,
anyway.
It's the best broccoli in Magic Kingdom.
They do have fantastic broccoli there.
Now, a restaurant like Pecos Bill's does have outlets, but the way it's set up, there's so many tables that are in the center of the room that it's a really tough place to actually find an outlet where you can kind of sit next to and charge your phone or something like that. So that's why some of the places are better than others. Have you guys come across any restaurants that might be better than others?
Pinocchio House is pretty good. They have a lot of still outlets on the walls with the tables up against the walls. I've charged there many times. Be Our Guest restaurant is very similar to Pecos with the tables in the middle, but the Rose Room is got a lot of plugs around the walls with the tables up against the walls. And honestly, I have definitely been in the Grand Ballroom eating, and I didn't have a plug, but there was one, you know, about six tables away, and I just went and asked, I hope you don't mind that I'm going to borrow the plug behind your table. And you know, they didn't have a problem with it, and they kept an eye. When they got up to leave, they waved over at me and said, we're leaving. We just want to let you know that we're going.
You see, people are just nicer at Walt Disney World.
They are. That's and right. If you're nice, they're going to be nice back. So
awesome.
You know, it's interesting because I just did a business trip to Dallas and stayed at it was in a loft hotel, and down in the lobby next to the bar, there was a big table where you could just sit, but you could plug, like there were USB ports all around the whole thing. So I think eventually you'll start to see that more and more, that places will have just a place for you to connect.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, now, that's something that we talked about in the past, and I thought actually by now we'd be talking a lot more about it. However, that hasn't turned out. And what I'm talking about is the Tangled bathroom area has these really, really cool charging stations for your phones. They have maybe four or five, best to be described as cut-off logs or cut-off trees, that the stumps have charging stations inside them. You can plug your phone in, and I believe they had cords, as opposed to having to have your own cord to plug in there also. You just have to find the one that matches your phone and plug into it. Now, since then, I remember seeing that the Tomorrowland had one set up in Space Mountain in the exit, which I never saw in person, and I think they've already pulled it out by now. But they had a charging station in there where you would swipe your credit card, not to charge you, but to actually use it to be the key to get your phone back.
Yeah, it was like right. A locker. It's similar to the old lockers, except you put your phone in it. Yeah.
Now, the last time I was there, those were gone. But there was an area, if you followed the wall where the arcade was, it was like a little cutout, and it had some seats in there, and there were strips. There was like a little bar on either side, and there were strips with, you know, 15 or 20 outlets that you could plug into. And
right, a nice big area.
Yeah.
Now, each park seems to have that big area. You just have to find it. Epcot has the waiting area for Captain EO. It's that big carpeted area where you're basically waiting for the big crowd before you're let into the pre-show movie room. And the entire wall is covered with outlets. It's a really, really nice area. And the carpet's very comfortable to sit on while you're waiting, too.
Nice. Dumbo and Magic Kingdom over in the circus area, over by where you meet Minnie Mouse and Daisy Duck, that area over there has some charging stations, some outlets, and some tables that you can sit under the big top type tent and charge and relax. It's while you overlook the kids down in the water play area. I think that's what that's meant for. And so it's a nice little spot over there.
Sam, I think you've been there before, huh?
Yeah, where the Fast Pass distributions used to be there in Storybook Circus.
Isn't it like a wooden box on the wall or something like that?
There's a few of them like that, yeah. And I don't know if that's where they actually plug the Fast Pass machines into or not, but any way you look at it, it's a nice spot.
Sure.
Ed, you were talking about some restaurants. One that I like to hit, and there's lots of plugs along the wall. The trick is finding the table that's by the plug that isn't being used. Right. So the worst time to look for them is lunchtime or dinner time, right? You got to go at off hours.
Sure.
Right.
One of the best is actually outside of ABC Commissary. Sort of the first outside table, there's a plug right there near it. And if you, headed up towards the Great Movie Ride, make the left, the first outside table is a nice spot with a plug out there.
Oh, okay.
Keep in mind.
Very nice.
There's a couple inside the ABC Commissary, too. But you got to find that table
right
next to the plug.
Mm-hmm.
Very cool. Now, the restaurant next to Star Tours also had a number of outlets in there, and there are a number of tables around the wall in there, too.
Backlot.
Yes, Backlot. Mm-hmm. Express. That was a really good one, too. I was really actually surprised how many they had in there.
There were no outlets at Starring Wolves. None. I looked everywhere a couple of weeks ago trying to find an outlet when we were having lunch at Starring Wolves, and there were none anywhere. So don't count on that.
Well, I think the biggest thing is that if you look at any of the new areas that they're developing, they're definitely taking that into consideration.
Mm-hmm.
True, but I still would have expected to see more of those Tangled-like charging stations over like the rest of Disney World. There's just so many opportunities you can have that. I mean, the airports have those charging stations everywhere. The colleges you go to now have those charging stations in all the student areas now. It just seems like so common sense. Other than the factor that if you don't watch your phone and someone steals it, you'll blame Disney and have them pay for it. So maybe that's a factor?
Well, now all
yeah,
of that said...
It could be liability. Yeah.
Could be.
All of that said, in the Club Disney, which recently closed over at Hollywood Studios, were some of the best charging stations that I have ever seen in the parks. This is a round table that had six cords coming out of it. On the end of each of those cords was every possible adapter you could find.
Sure. Oh, and actually,
every phone in.
That reminds me of the Chase rooms that they have set up for Food and Wine also.
That's exactly it.
Right.
And that's the type of kiosk they have at the airports. Why can't they have that everywhere?
But I think that's so antiquated.
Why? It works.
Because
you know what? Decorated.
Because I don't think you need it. I don't think you need 10 different cords coming out. I think you need a bank of USBs. I mean, there's no phone today.
Oh, sure.
It can't be charged off a USB. So to have 10 different cords is just ridiculous. If you just had a spot where you can just plug in your phone, you know, plug the USB port, it takes care of all those because you're going to have a cord. You just need a place to plug it in.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, that's why we have these tech checks, though, because in the beginning of the whole smartphone craze, that wasn't the second thought in our heads was to bring our cords with us. We're relying on our phones because they're fabulous, and the run out of a battery, that was kind of a surprise. So to have those cords available, that was a necessity.
Yeah,
so antiquated, yes. However, what if I did leave my cord in the room and my phone's ready to run out? I don't have my camera. I'd prefer to have the cord available.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, I could see the downside of you have to have every cord available for every phone out there. That's kind of ridiculous. But either way, you know, better to err on keeping the customer happy, right?
Right.
So here's what I'm thinking while you guys are talking, because I agree these should be in the parks. I almost a prediction. Disney somewhere, somebody is negotiating with Energizer or Duracell or somebody for a sponsorship so they can do this. I guarantee you.
Yeah, that'd be great.
It's all about getting a sponsorship and somebody to sponsor those things before they distribute them. Then it's like the old smoking station. Get rid of the smoking stations and put the chargers in.
Charging stations.
Well, that's all it is, a charging station. You're right. Exactly like that.
Make it so at the end of every bench, there's a place to plug in your USB cord.
Absolutely.
Wow, that would be cool.
That would be really cool.
However, and we also have to remember we're in Florida, so that's a little bit weather-wise taking into effect. I don't think we're close to being electronics left out like that, but it is a nice thought.
We would fry out Walt Disney World with that.
Well, you know what it'll be is once we get the wireless battery, the wireless charging down a little bit more specific, down a little bit easier on each device.
Yeah, you're right.
That'll be where it goes.
My other crazy conspiracy theory thought is Disney's Wi-Fi is not the best, so maybe they're hoping some people's phones die to get less people off the network.
Yeah, I don't know about that.
When it comes to crazy conspiracy theories, it fits right in it.
Yeah, sure it does. You know, Wi-Fi, that was a big deal when they announced that they were going to give free Wi-Fi in the parks to everybody, but the Wi-Fi is pretty terrible. And most, especially in Magic Kingdom.
And, you know, you really ask for a lot considering how many tens of thousands of people are all using it at the same time.
Sure.
It's a miracle that it works at all. Another great charging place, while I think of it, is Interventions, either east or west. There's usually a big wall of chargers in there. There's always a couple of chairs sitting around in there, too. However, with all the construction going on, not a definite right now.
Yeah, it might not even be open.
You know where actually the tougher area is in probably all the parks would be World Showcase.
Yeah, I agree. Me and Sam, if you look back, we were together in Caramel Couché. And Sam was recording a video, but there was a outlet like on the wall that goes to the line where you walk to go like buy the sweets and stuff. And I stood right there for a while, just had my phone plugged in. But so you just got to tell people, no, I'm not waiting in line to get popcorn. I'm charging my phone.
Just charging.
And just a reminder to everybody, if there's something plugged into an outlet, you never want to unplug it. If an outlet is covered for whatever reason, you never want to uncover it either. And if you're in a spot like online for the Caramel store and that's the only plug, you might want to consider really looking for another one.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
But anyway.
Especially if it's crowded. You will not have happy people.
Well, sure. Although people have done that, so it's like one of those weird things. People kind of lose their sense of – for as many people that are really feeling happy at Walt Disney World, there's just as many people that kind of lose their whole sense of reality as they're in Disney World, and it's just me. So you kind of balance that out. It's kind of crazy.
Yeah. Right.
Well, you know, so the idea is, you know, there's a ton of people that are happy, but their expectations are so high also that they don't expect things to go awry.
Right.
Right. Okay, guys. Well, that's it for the Tech Check on the Disney Nerds podcast. I'm glad you guys came along with us, and we want to hear from you. What kind of tech do you carry to the park? How do you take care of those charging issues? And if there's something we mentioned that seems so basic that we need to know it, please send us an email.
You can email us at thedisneynerds@yahoo.com. Also, make sure to check out the Disney Nerds podcast Facebook page. Join us on the Disney Nerds group. And follow us on Twitter @TheDisneyNerds and Instagram @TheDisneyNerdsPodcast.
Okay, guys, thanks for listening to the Disney Nerds podcast. This was show number 125. And for Jimmy, Sam, and Charlotte, this is Ed, and we'll see you next week. Bye-bye.
Guaharini.
Gongaloosh.
Just keep swimming.
1, 2, thank you, thank you. We have a lot to be grateful for. Thank you, technology.
Thank you, technology.
You're everywhere for us to see.
Thank you, technology. energy, from solar powered socks to self picking banana trees. Where would we be without you?
Technology.
Thank you, technology, from the bottom of our laser pants.
Technology.
Thank you, technology.
Technology.
Thank you, technology.
Technology.
Thank you, technology.
Technology.
Thank you, technology. I'm on a first name basis with my microwave. Isn't that right, Dave?
Friendly technology.
And a robot cat will never bite. Just feed it a calculator. It'll be your friend for life. And oh, look who's here. It's our friend with a brand new digital beard. Handsome technology.
Technology.
Some of my best friends take batteries.
Technology.
I don't hold it against them though.
Technology.
I'm still impressed by Velcro.
Technology.
Thank you, technology. I see remote control bees and think, look what we've created. Wonderful technology, this planet is upgraded. We've got satellite hats with lots of buttons, knobs, and switches. Can you imagine midnight snacks without glow-in-the-dark dishes? We've got toasters, so powerful launching toast into space. To be honest, it leaves it with a slightly odd taste. Oh, technology, you're my kind of lology.
Technology.
Is this hovercraft fresh?
Technology.
Where do I plug in these flowers?
Technology.
These slippers are rich. Chargeable.
Technology.
Thank you, technology, from the bottom of our laser pants. Big Block, sing song.